everybody, and welcome to World Quality Day Special. I've got my pom-poms. I hope that you guys are watching on YouTube because this is a super, super, super fun episode on a very special day, which is the 9th of November, World Quality Day. And I've got a world-class VP of Quality Assurance on the episode today. A very, very big warm welcome to you, Virginie Schwartz, VP of Quality Assurance at Mölnlycke.
Thank you, Elena.
I'm super excited to have you on the show today, Virginie, to talk about quality and what it means, because it's something that today we're celebrating, hence why I've got the pom-poms. But can you maybe start by just giving a brief introduction as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so as you said it already, I'm the VP for Quality Assurance at Mölnlycke. I've been in the industry for somehow 20 years, I would say, meanwhile. Always in quality, so very big passionate about quality, as you said.
Yeah, really, really cool. And so when we talk about quality, I always, struggle to capture it succinctly. So how would you describe what quality does in a really simple way, as if you were explaining it to like a 6-year-old?
Yeah, and I guess you're not the only one struggling. And even we working at Quality Forever do struggle doing that. I did fail miserably trying to explain that to my sons. I think they still don't get it. So you can take it the way that quality is what you need to place a safe product on market. You will see quality support all along the life cycle of the product, from design to manufacturing to even putting the product on market and solving issues once the products are on the market. So I did have the conversation recently with our young graduates. So we do have a program where we take people off university, take them through all of the jobs we have typically in quality, regulatory, clinicals, just for them to see that from inside and get a flavor for that. And I asked them, and they told me a little bit the same. It's about how to make sure we have the right quality of products outside. And they had a very cute way of placing themselves in the shoes of 6 years old. So they say, well, think of a band-aid. You've hurt yourself. So quality are the ones making sure that the band-aid doesn't hurt, but that your wound still get fixed. And if you take it bigger, quality are the ones making sure that the doctors have the right product to save life of patients.
Yeah, so it has that direct impact on patients, right? It's such a broad reaching role. So what made you decide to actually, you said you've had your whole career in quality. So what made you actually decide that this is a career route for you?
I would say quality found me. I didn't find quality. I'm a chemist by trade, and chemistry was not so much into quality. I mean, you have your processes, you have all of that. Then I went to the air freight industry. In the air freight industry, I was in charge of the safe transportation of dangerous goods. And there I realized how much processes, safety, all of those things are important. And I decided to go to an external training on quality as a quality manager. And shortly after that training, I switched to the medical device industry. And that was the whoa. That's such a bandwidth of professions, of jobs you have there. And that's such an impact you can do. You can have the products and the patients. In medical devices, you find products which really talk to you, where you can really identify with. And that's where I started growing my career in quality. And I would say the more you advance in your career, the more influence you can have on products and patients, and that's great.
So something that I know you're quite passionate about is this idea of like partnership when it comes to quality. And depending on who you talk to, sometimes quality doesn't always have the best reputation inside of a company because they can be seen as a little bit the police. oh, I forgot what they're called, but in the police, sometimes you have these like internal affairs and they're the ones that are going around, investigating all the police officers. And sometimes, depending on who you talk to, sometimes there's a feeling in companies that quality are those people, but I know that you have a completely different perspective as to how important and how quality can be that partner to the business. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I would say one of the things I'm extremely passionate about is that quality is not a department. Quality is a mindset. So
Yeah.
I really see quality as a culture within the company. And that's what you seem to be calling a partnership. I call it culture. So it's really, I mean, as a company, if you choose to go just for compliance, of course, that's okay. You will get your product on market, but you're just missing so much opportunities. That's miserable. So you shouldn't do that as a company. As a good managed company, you should look for continuous improvement. You should look for taking the benefits of all of the people you have in your team and in your company. And that's really what you have as a true partnership. So having a good company culture, a good quality partnership, you can get the best out of the people and out of the products.
How do you actually build that quality culture though? Because like, how do you go about making people maybe who don't work in quality understand that quality is not just my responsibility as the VP of the department, but it's actually everybody's? How do you win those hearts and minds?
I mean, you can do that. I would say you do that as the company culture. So really growing the culture of why we do things, why we stand, what we stand for. So what is important to us as a company, what is important to us as people. And then you have honestly the business impact because we are all business people. I mean, we need to get our paycheck in the end of the day. So, and it really does make a difference to do it right the first time. You can save a lot of costs. You can save a lot of effort. You can save a lot of frustration, and then less turnaround in your people if you have less frustration. So it's a lot of benefits you can have into doing that the right way.
So it's about actually making the conversation broader and sort of helping other departments understand like the impact on them of of how good it is to have like a strong quality culture is not just great for the quality department, but it's great for the sales and marketing department or for like the strategy department. So really making it relevant for them.
You have all aspects for that. It's really important for all of us to do it the right way, right? And it's really showing the benefits of what a good quality culture can bring to the company, yes.
So what about like when you're recruiting for your team? How do you identify if someone has the right kind of attitude towards quality?
I would look for that police behavior,
Yeah.
and then you've lost with me, to be honest. So that's exactly what I don't want my people to do. So we are definitely not the policemen. We have to be, I mean, as quality people, we are very rarely extroverts. We are not extroverts, quality people. We are rather introverts. We cannot change our behaviors, but you can still have the right mindset. So what I want to see in quality people when I hire them is really that entrepreneurship. They want to change the world. They still have dreams for the company, and they still have a very strong flavor for continuous improvement in the company. So that's how I want to see the people in the quality department.
I like that idea of entrepreneurship. There's this idea of like intrapreneurship, which is this, you know, you're being like an entrepreneur, but inside of a company and still being able to be forward thinking and coming up with ideas and solutions. So people that have that inside them, they can still be really successful when they work for a bigger company. So as you're talking about, like even in Mölnlycke, and they can have the chance to contribute positively in that way. So that's really good to hear that that's something that you actively look for, actually. So quality initiatives, though, I can imagine that they face resistance. You know, I get the argument of like, okay, if we do this, it's better to get it right the first time round. But there's always a number of different counter arguments. So how do you overcome resistance when you're trying to roll out a quality initiative across the company?
Is the one with a low level of convincing, which are all of the compliance issues. I mean, you do have a compliance issue, we need to fix it.
Yeah.
You can still do it in a reasonable way, you can still do it in a pragmatic way, and that's how you build the confidence with your partners. And luckily, that's not the majority. The vast majority of all of the quality initiatives are rather continuous improvement. And for continuous improvement, I like to see the quality project like any other company project. So we need to have a business case. We need to show the benefits of what we're doing. And by showing the benefits of what we're doing, we're just, I would say, filing up with all of the other projects in the companies. So we just need to show the benefit we will get to the company compared to other projects to get the right staffing and the right priorities.
How important is top-down buy-in when it comes to quality?
It's crucial. I mean, you cannot have a culture without all of the leadership of the company being behind that culture. I mean, you can have a lot of empty words. Your employee will feel that it's empty words. So you have to have really that top-down culture, mindset, conviction, and that quality is the right thing to do. And I figured out in my career that it's not actually difficult to talk quality with marketing people, with salespeople. It's very easy to talk quality with them because they very quickly, very easily see the benefit for the patient. Sometimes it's just safety. Sometimes it's just getting access to the product. But I mean, it's kind of natural. You want the patients to get the best they can get, right?
Yeah. And it's about making it relevant for the people that you're dealing with, as you say, right? So for salespeople, they're thinking, okay, well, how can I best, like, how am I going to communicate that to my stakeholders? And so obviously, because they're so close to the patient and so close to, you know, understanding that link, you being able to make the link to them from, okay, well, good quality equals this for the patients, it helps salespeople then go out and sell the product better, ultimately. But coming back to that, like, top-down culture of quality, I have a question for you. So let's say somebody is interviewing for a new job and they are choosing between multiple different companies. What should they be looking for to determine if a company has buy-in from the senior leadership team when it comes to culture of quality?
I would pretend that's something you feel immediately.
Okay.
I just recently had a conversation with a lady we hired recently, and I had a debrief with her just after she started with her, and I told her, you know what I love with Mölnlycke is the culture.
Yeah.
Because we are so passionate about people, we respect people, and we have a great culture of quality as well. So I said that, well, you don't need to tell me. I've sensed it in the first interviews. That's something you sense, that's something you see, that's something you feel when you onboard a company. So hopefully you will have felt it before even onboarding. But if it's genuine, if it's real, true culture, you will feel it the first time you talk to people in the company.
What about red flags, though? So, like, you know, as you say, some companies they can profess, okay, we have a culture of quality. I mean, I speak to loads of people that tell me they went into a company thinking that it was going to be one way, and it turns out a little bit differently. So, are there like red flags then, you know, to pay attention to, even if, you know, maybe the words are said and you sort of feel it, but what are the red flags that would indicate that this isn't necessarily a company that has a strong culture of quality?
Difficult for me because I really honestly didn't have any red flag company in my career any recently. So, but what I sometimes see is hollow words. So just as you say, you will claim it's written in your mission, vision, whatever. You will find the word quality somewhere, but it doesn't transpire. And I'm a very I'm very much a feeling person. I'm not a words on paper person. So what would I see as a red flag? It's probably somebody telling me what they can achieve. They have quick to market, they have unbeatable products, and you will never get a sense of they care about the patient, they care about the safety. So that's really words you should feel and see in the message when you approach these people, when you talk to those people.
Mm-hmm. So really keeping the focus on the benefit of the patient ultimately. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot just have quality in an empty shell. So quality is part of a bigger culture.
Yeah. What about if you're trying to roll out a quality initiative and let's say you have buy-in but from other areas of the business, but how do you overcome resistance within your own team when it comes to rolling out quality initiatives?
You always have to sell your ideas to people. I mean, you know me since quite some years now, and you know that I tend to be a bit quick to the people in front of me. So I keep on taking myself back and say, okay, let's start small. So my preference is really to start small on a pilot project, to show the benefit on the pilot, and then to show the benefit we would have if we would expand. So that's, I seem to become more reasonable over the years.
Baby steps definitely works. So where have you seen, I mean, I know that you said that through your career, you know, you've worked for really good companies, and I can attest to that. But where have you seen kind of quality go wrong? Or like, what are the most common mistakes that you see happening in companies when it comes to quality and the business?
I would think some mistakes I've even seen in the companies I've been in. Luckily, more in my early career, is when you don't have that partnership, when you don't have that really close behavior. So you would have, let's say, the management saying, oh, the quality department should be in charge of quality, make sure it's right. That doesn't work. That's not the right way to do that. Or even if you have quality people, like a quality engineer, say, you have to do it, it's compliant. I mean, you never buy anybody with that. So it's more of this attitude when you can make things fail or go wrong.
Yeah. So it's about having the right attitude with the people that you're dealing with. That's really, really interesting. And so in terms of the positives of quality, so looking at kind of your experience, what have been some of like the biggest successes or your biggest sort of celebration points when it comes to showing what quality can really do for a company?
I'd have to say it's a lot of small successes.
Yeah.
I'm always happy and I'm always proud when we make things happen in an efficient way. And I would say everybody's happy when they don't hear about quality, right? About the quality department. So everything goes smooth, and that's really what makes you proud. Or when you get into, I would say, more creative way of doing things. One thing, for example, I've never done, I've never taken procedures from one company to the next, because that will fail. So I'm always looking at the company the way it is and embedding the compliance topics into that new company, the new environment, and the new culture of the company. And that's really what makes me proud of.
Yeah. Equality is one of these departments that's like not the star of the show, but the ones that make it all come together. You know, if you imagine a show or a production, you know, they're not necessarily the singer on the stage with the microphone, but they're the ones making sure that the whole thing is moving well together in the background. And there's no, you know, that everything is working, the microphone is working, the show lights are working, and that it's all coming together. And so it's one of those functions that, as you say, when it's all going really well, you don't see it. And so therefore it becomes also, I think it's important to talk about the successes and to raise the bar and raise the profile of quality in an organization, so that we're not only talking about quality when things are going wrong and they're like, we call them in to fix issues, but actually quality is talking about things that are going really well and looking for opportunities to do even better. That's what I see in really forward thinking organizations. Nevertheless, quality is a cost on the P&L, right? And so there is always this conversation around resources and budget constraints. And so I'm sure with an unlimited budget, you know, you could do so much with quality, but ultimately there's always that tension between resources, constraints, and budgets. How do you navigate that?
As I told you before, I like to see quality projects as just normal projects. So you will always see, I usually don't call them cost savings, I call them cost avoidance. The difference between the two of them is saving, I need to give the money back. With cost avoidance, first, I didn't spend the money, and second, I can reuse whatever resources I've saved to do something more relevant. So and that's how I like to see the quality project. So it's again, it's about partnership, it's about communication. So what can I do for the business? And that's what I need to defend.
I really like the cost avoidance angle. You know that I haven't actually, I didn't hear it before, but it makes real sense when you frame it in that slightly different way. Really, really nice hack there. I think people are going to take that away and do some good stuff with it. So big question then, World Quality Day, what are you doing to celebrate it with your team at Mölnlycke?
Well, I do spend time with you, right? So that's a nice way of celebrating World Quality Day. I decided for this year that I don't want to have a quality party with the quality team. So that's not something we're doing this year. So what I've been doing, I've been approaching quite some leaders within the company and ask them, what is quality for you? Mm. Or how do you sense that we are all quality? So just making them included into the quality family for that World Quality Day. And what we're doing is we are sharing quotes from leaders throughout the companies on our intranet, quotes around quality. So you have all of the functions talking to quality.
Really smart, because it brings everybody into the conversation, and to your point, makes World Quality Day not only about the quality department but about the whole company. So really, really good to have this conversation with you, Virginie. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
And I'm gonna shake the pom-poms to celebrate World Quality Day. I wish you guys could see them, because they're really fancy, but you can't see them in the camera. There you go. Hooray! Thank you, Virginie.
Thank you.
Happy World Quality Day, everybody. And see you on another episode of Career Diaries by Elemed sometime soon.